Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. This is Caitlin. Each episode, my Uncle Aaron interviews guests that are living their lives unscripted. The song you are hearing is the music from our dear friends, Tori and Shauna. You can find their music wherever you stream your favorite songs. For now, from his studio, here's my Uncle Aaron.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my Jerseys of Hope studio. Brand new thing, Jerseys of Hope. Our friends at jerseysofhope.org. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Like I said, great for a Friday.
It is a Friday. Man, we're going to record. I know there's a lot of people can't wait to hear from us. Yeah. Man, just for all the people that may not know you, many do that will probably listen to this, but for those that do not, can you just tell us about you, your family, your kids, your wife, all that?
Sure. Well, I'm originally a 216 advocate. That's where I'm originally from, with Aaron. Grew up together. Currently married to my beautiful wife, Sonia. I'll be 34 years this fall. We have three children, 27, a son 27, daughter 23, and a sophomore in college who's 20. So almost everyone's legal and adult, responsible for themselves. But no, that's going good. We currently reside in State College, Pennsylvania, right near Penn State. Still OH, not we are, but I'm a special education administrator, head of school for a special education school for students on the autism spectrum and who need emotional support. I've done that off and on most of my career. My wife works in Christian radio. She's an on-air host and church relations. And so we are recent empty nesters-ish with our last daughter going off to school last year. So getting used to that adjustment and just having the two of us to blame each other when something's amiss. But it's been a great adjustment. We're loving life and loving being married and involved in our local church and on the elder board and teaching a small group of young marrieds, trying to tell them all the things not to do, be transparent, talk them through life, raising kids, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but loving the opportunity to talk with you and taking a trip down memory lane. I know we text every once in a while, song lyrics, and hey, have you heard this? And it's just, it's really great to just sit down and have a conversation with you. So I'm looking forward to it.
It is. All right. So to give people a little, from my perspective, you all need to understand, like, Ernie is one of my first friends. As far back as I can remember, my guy is one of my first friends. And we may cry on this episode. That's on brand for me. So I'm just going to go ahead and get it out of the way now. If we cry, it's what we do, right? It's okay. Right. But I remember days in the 216. Was Mayfield in the 216 or no?
They were. Yes. All right. Transferred over to the – part of it transferred over to the 440 when that came out. But original 216.
All right. Well, I'm going to say it because we used to roll through the 216 and listen to the outfield and Van Halen 5150. Like y'all need to understand, my weekends were filled with me some Ernie Lay and his brother and his cousin. And we're going to talk about that because we're going to talk about love, loss, and just God's faithfulness today. So,
absolutely.
Whew, okay, let's get into it. So people understand, let's tell some funny stories first. So hang on. If you listen to this and you're like, oh, this is terrible, I don't care about that. But there's a lot of history between the two of us. I might have wet my pants once laughing so hard.
Yes, yes. The time we were the older students in the teen group, and we were sent to pick up the pizza. Now, this is back in the day when Little Caesars had the big, wide, long, extended pizza beside the pizza with a little cardboard flap in the middle.
Pizza.
And we were in the 86 Dodge Caravan, probably rocking out to the outfielder Van Halen. May have taken a corner a little too sharp, and we heard this shoo, boom. And we looked back, and there was pizza kind of up against the side door. And we did laugh pretty hard. Then I think one of us may have tinkled a little.
Thank God for the hand dryers inside the church.
That's right. That's right.
I might have sat on a trash can under the hair dryer to clean up Right.
So, yes. Yeah.
But here's the thing: we put that pizza back in the slider, we may have served it to those teens.
And no one knew till
now.
Till now.
It's a confession moment. I'm sorry to whoever that teen was that ate that pizza.
Forgive me.
And I bet nobody thinks that's as funny as we do, but we know the sound, we know the sight, and we know what we had to do to get that pizza to those kids. Yep. Pizza. Thank you, Little Caesars, for that.
But pizza, man, that's right.
Like literally my childhood, teenage years, were marked with just being together, man. Your family adopted me as one of their own. My family adopted you all.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time. I actually was just jotting down some thoughts last night and just the countless hours of hooping at Woodrow and, you know, trying to figure out how to get taller so we could, you know, dunk on the hoop on the front of the little two car garage, you know, just countless hours of that stuff, you know, countless hours of hooping at Bednaz, you know, back and forth. You know, I think you used to call me your assist man, and we were a pretty good 1-2. We were a pretty good 1-2 combination there, you know, pick and ball and that kind of stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
It was
LJ and Grandmama, and you know, that's really old school going back to that kind of stuff. But those are memories I hang on to. I mean, I see those things and yeah, those are good times. And your mom and dad, you know, love me like their own. I've spent hours and hours and hours with your dad, you know, teaching me things about, you know, lighting and stuff at church and taking a chance on a kid that, you know, I was a knucklehead, but, it was cool that he saw stuff in me, you know, and he would empower me to do things and built my confidence, which all young men, I think, struggle with at that adolescent age. And he built me up, you know, and he thought I could do things. And so I'm forever appreciative to Uncle Bill for that. So that was good stuff. Good stuff.
Same. You know, I just remember spending time at your house. I mean, y'all put a rim on a pole with no backboard.
No backboard
in the backyard. And man, we would dunk on anything that we could, you know, for those of us 6 feet and under.
That's like, right. That's right.
But, you know, man, y'all just loved your parents love me and they still do. That's what's crazy. Absolutely. They still do to this day. And no matter when I see them, I ran into them in an Indians game. I'm sorry, Guardian, whatever they're called today. A Cleveland baseball game.
Forever Indians.
Forever Indians. I ran into him and as soon as I saw him, I was like, that's mom and dad. Like it just, it was just, what a sweet time it was for all of us, growing up. And we could go on and on. People probably wouldn't know just how meaningful it was. Shoot, man. We went to the last game at Cleveland, the old Cleveland Stadium, right?
Yep. 1980.
Whatever.
What year that was, something. Yeah, my parents, I just had some friends. We went back to my parents' house and saw the Cavs play the Knicks a couple weeks ago. And my parents let us crash at the Hotel Ma and Pa. And they have that picture hanging in my bedroom, the last game at Cleveland, the old Cleveland Stadium. Tickets inside. Yeah, we were there. It was good. Speaking of the Indians, I think I sent you the picture today. My favorite still to this day.
100%.
All time Indians memory is when we went to, I purchased tickets way back in the beginning of the year for I think it was the Royals or something, the last fan appreciation weekend. Just so happened, as fate would have it, your favorite player back in the day, Albert Bell, he was going for the record, first player to ever hit 50 home runs and 50 doubles in a season. And I bought these cheap seats and we were up in the top. You had your MVP sign. Nobody could see us. And we were like, we got to get down there. We got to move down. So we scoped it out. And I was just telling somebody the story today. We scoped it out. There were two seats right down in, you know, second, third row, whatever. So we said, okay, here's the plan. We'll buy handfuls of snacks so nobody will check our tickets. Look like we know what we're doing. So we made a beeline down there, like the third inning. And then we got down there.
We did.
And realized back in the day before they had the great digital board and everything, and they would try and snap the perfect picture of the batter, like warming up, taking his warm ups. And if left-handers. They did, left-handers. They would put up some stock photo, right? So we realized about the third left-hander in that oh my gosh, that's us. We were in the background of every batter. So there's a couple of photos. I know we went home and showed your mom the video. There's a couple of photos we were like, and we were like, hey, we better cut this out because they're going to know we don't sit here.
But that was so good. And I think we just missed a foul ball. But yeah. to piggyback on that, and you and I did text this morning, my favorite moment in that, and Albert hit 50. Shout out Albert Bell. He should have won the MVP, you know, because he was mean to the media. He didn't win the MVP because Mo Vaughn did, because he was nice to the media. Anyway, my favorite moment in that entire thing was Albert hit 50 and he's round the bases. And you looked at me and you said, man, this town needs a hero. I will never forget that. And dude, it extends way beyond that. Like, the reason why I remember it is because I feel like in life, man, this town needs a hero.
Yeah.
especially in the world we live in today, man, this town needs a hero. Sure. And Albert was our hero back then. And for me, dude, he was my hero. I hope to get him on here someday. So Albert, if you're listening, which I'm sure he's not, come on unscripted. But no, dude, it was amazing. What an amazing time. And yes, I still have the VHS in my basement. I don't have a VCR or any way to play it. But I still have the VHS in my basement from Channel 43.
That's a classic.
Me and Earn on every left-hander trying to locking it in to the Jumbotron at Jacobs Field. Then Jacobs Field. Now it's whatever it's called now. I don't even know. But
corner well, man, of Carnegie, dude, we've Ontario. Had
– what's that?
The corner of Carnegie and Ontario. That's what we'll
whatever.
Call it.
It's still going to be there. Like they can change the name 100 times. The team, the logo, whatever, it'll always be – that. And man, we just had so many times. So you and I could have a whole episode on just our memories.
And
I don't want to get sad on people for a minute, but I do want people to know your strength, the strength of your family. We're gonna cry in this episode. I'm telling you, it's on brand. Man, the strength of your family over the last decade or so is something I don't understand. So people need to understand. I not only ran with Earn, but his younger brother, Steven, and his cousin, Timmy. We played in Hoop It Ups. We played softball. In flag football. We played softball. Man, we all ran together. And Timmy might have mooned my mom.
I think he did at the top of the steps. I do remember that. Yeah.
Welcome to Unscripted. Timmy might have mooned my mom one time. So those two in heaven right now, by the way, that's a conversation. I bet they
cutting it up. I'm sure.
Cutting it up. I'm sure. But Timmy passed. So man, I hate to just downshift real quick, but Timmy passed, and my mom passed. My mom was my anchor. But you've lost your cousin and your brother, dude. How for people listening, how have you just been such an anchor and a lighthouse for your family and in that, man? I don't know. I genuinely don't know how that goes. I just know that I've been there for both, and it hurts me today. And I got a tattoo from your brother written on my wrist. How does that go, man? How do you deal with loss?
It goes rough, you know. November 30th, 2007, and November 22nd, 2022 are two stakes in the ground that they change your life. You know, we ran together, but you know those guys were my brothers. We had a small family. It was me, Steven, and Timmy. And so it is hard to be, to wrap your head around, now being an only son, an only uncle, an only nephew, and those kind of things. But, I think what I have learned, and it probably sounds a little cliche, it's just, this is kind of when your faith, becomes your faith. You know, I used to tell, the teens that I worked with at times and the young marrieds, you know, and then no disrespect, but you know, what we believe is really all about a guy up in a tree in his underwear, and then he comes back to life. That's crazy. That's crazy. But do you believe it? So you can tell the stories, you can memorize the verses, but then when you have to live it out. So there's just been a couple of things that I've grasped onto. You know, Philippians 1:27 says, no matter what happens, somebody dies, cancer, you know, all those kind of things, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that's a life verse a little bit, you know. And have I lived up to that every time? Absolutely not. Have I needed counseling through some of that? Absolutely. Have I, you know, done a lot of dumb things and said a lot of dumb things that, you know, could have cost me my marriage? Absolutely. And so I've had to work through that. I haven't conducted myself in a manner. But in these kind of instances where you have to deal with grief and loss, and the other thing is related to you. You mentioned the tattoo. One other of my favorite verses, I've always longed to have a faith. I call it Daniel chapter 3 faith. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody who grew up in church knows the story. But the amazing thing is it, you know, right there in chapter 3, verse 17, I think it is, they speak up and they say, oh, king, we don't need a bow. We don't need a bow because our God will save us. But then in chapter 18, which is where the song comes from, but even if he doesn't, that's where faith comes in. And that's so to have, but even if he doesn't, Daniel chapter 3 faith. And, you know, do I get that right every time? No, sir. But I think those are some of the things that have tried to, you say, be strong through, in my weakness, he becomes strong. You know, he's the rock and he's the one. It's not about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, and those are great things. They're sound bites, right? They're good. But I think in these types of things where you lose your younger brother, you lose your cousin who's between those two over 12 or 15 years. And then you, all of a sudden you look around, you're like, I'm it. Like I'm the heir type thing. That's when those things have to come alive, and they're not, that's when the word is living and breathing and sharper than a two-edged sword, those kind of things. It's not just sound bites or things that you memorized in Sunday school to get the silver dollar. You know, they're real, true life things. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of a little bit of where it's been. So
no, it does. And I've witnessed that in your life, and I can testify that, I don't know, man. I don't. Maybe that's why I don't haven't been in that season in my life. Is I'm sure. Not sure.
Sure.
I have the backbone, or the courage or the strength that not just you but your family has. I mean, you know, Mama C was amazing. Mm.
Solid.
And my dad's amazing, right? Like they're amazing for me. But when Mama C, my moral compass, I think, dude, when that was removed, man, life hasn't been the same. And I've had to find my way. Have you found that? You know, he was your brother, and Timmy was your cousin, man. That's family. It was a small family, but have you found that you've had to try to navigate and find some kind of footing?
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, I'm still navigating it. You know, I spent, you know, a good part of the last year doing some counseling. And again, like you, hadn't really stepped through this before. I mean, my cousin passed away 15 years ago. So it'd been some time. You know, my parents are still living. My wife's parents are still living. We hadn't been touched. I mean, I've had, you know, friends and there's been things, but in terms of the closeness of blood and family and really, really like, wow, they're not coming back, you know, to touch that, you know, that closely. And so when you talk about find your footing, it's, I think I would, to be honest, it's something I'm still navigating. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do for my nieces to help them know their dad? Yeah. He was a hero. You know, he was a hero. He went through a really difficult time, you know, and life throws people difficult times. But he did it with such grace and stayed funny and just kept the love of life that then, you know, found someone new and just kept pursuing. And his faith was solid. You know, we had a lot of special times through his illness where it was just he and I and praying. You know, we found out together what it's like to yell at God, to feel like David and say, what is going on? And I'd never really done that before because I hadn't had that kind of instance. But he and I did that together. And even though the hard thing was, is when you hear stories about so-and-so beat cancer and so-and-so, it's still hard at times, honestly, to swallow.
Yeah.
And my brother didn't beat it. So what, you know, so where's my yellow brick road, you know, type of thing. And to still pursue, you know, Romans 8:28, that in all things, God works together for good.
Yeah.
When I haven't seen it yet. I don't know yet what's good about that. Mm-hmm. I've seen some people's lives who have been changed and they've reached out to me and talked to me about the influence that my brother had. So maybe that's what it means, you know, in a way. But for me, it's been hard so far to see the good selfishly for me selfishly for my sister-in-law, Wendy, or for my parents. And, you know, it's, you know, one of the things that was hard, that was really hard for my parents, and we talked about this a lot, me and them, is that it's just out of order. You know, parents shouldn't bury their kids. That's out of order. And that's been a difficult thing. He would have been 51 this past week. And so every March 13th, we eat pizza and wings in honor of Meter, because that's what he would have done on his birthday. So it's little things like that. So I, you know, to answer your question, I think I'm still finding my footing. I think we're still trying to figure out as a family how to navigate all that. And there are good days and there are hard days. There are hard seasons. But he left a legacy, which is good, you know. Legacies are always good.
He did. He took care of his own before he left, and may we all do the same. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of thoughts as you were talking. I know Mama C used to say that when a lot of boys were being born, that her grandma would say, "There's a war getting ready to be built," and that's a dark thing to think about. Like, there's a war coming when there was a lot of babies born that were boys. Sure. And I always thought that was so weird. But as you were talking, I was thinking, like, man, the world's crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our brother, Stephen, your brother, my dear friend, was a warrior.
Absolutely.
And God knows what's coming. I don't know what that is. You and I know both don't know what that is. Yeah. The other thing I would say is, man, I've lost way too many friends to cancer, as you said, whose parents have had to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. That economy doesn't work for me, but it works for God. It's God's economy. And at the end of the day, we say they lost their battle.
Mm.
But the reality is they won. Right. They won. There were, my mom lost her battle. Like, it wasn't cancer, but my mom lost and I don't have her, but she won because she's where she wanted to be. And, man, I don't know, man, that's just a lot jumbled together, but I feel like maybe Stephen is going to lead what's coming that you and I can't even get our minds around.
Sure.
About what the future holds, and God called him home when he did, because, I don't know. It was time. And I can't wait to see him again. And I know you can't either.
Yeah. It's so ironic you talk about the future, because one of the things I was just jotting down last night, just thinking about, you know, our friendship and stuff. You recommended a book to me many years ago, just in one of our times passing. I don't know if it was maybe at a Mount Vernon thing with my kids there, whatever. But and it was The Last Arrow by Erwin McManus. You so just good. Recommended it. I was looking for a book. You know, I'm always reading something. And there's a phrase in there at the end of chapter 3 that it's foundational, and I keep it in several different places. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it, because it talks exactly what you said.
Right.
It says, if our best futures can be known only in the mind of God, then how critical is it that we hear his voice and heed his call? God is never calling us into the past. He's always calling us into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the key part. When he calls us to choose him, He's calling us to choose the future as well. This process is far more painful than can be described by words. Sometimes the future demands all of us and all from us, and we will all find ourselves at some point in our lives being asked to put everything we know on an altar with only a promise of a future we don't know.
Right.
And that has become a pivotal paragraph in my life, that I cannot just give lip service to, you know, I've been called by God. You know, we're all called, but we all have different callings. And so you have to be able to hear his voice with the thought in mind that you don't know exactly what the future holds. And that's, again, a little bit about where faith comes in when you were talking earlier about finding your footing and those kind of things. I have to believe in my faith walk that what I encounter is in the grand design for who I'm becoming, that I'm in process. I am a work in process. And so if it's a trial, blessed is the man who perseveres, James says, right? Blessed is the man who perseveres in trials, because when you stand the test, then you're ready. You get that crown of life that the Lord's been preparing for you. But that test might be lifelong. It might be cancer. I know your good friend Gary, he's got a lifelong battle, a lifelong trial, but he's turned it for good. He has, right. He's accepted the call, you know? So I thank you for that, because that's been pivotal. I keep that in my journal in the front. It's printed out, and I just, every once in a while, I just read it just as a reminder that we're called to a future we don't know. So,
Yeah, I don't even remember saying that. Which tells you it wasn't for me. Honestly, yeah, it's a great book. And the irony of that is the man that wrote it, Erwin McManus, is going through cancer. He's mm-hmm. been diagnosed with cancer. He's an incredible pastor who has many, many amazing books that I've read. And that one was one where he was kind of writing his last. Now, I think he's still great. I don't know where he's at in his health journey, but I know when he wrote the book, he wasn't sure where life was going to take him. And so he was kind of writing his last arrow, as he said. Man, I didn't even know that.
But
I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, you and I didn't know when we were rolling through the 216 and going to Indians games and doing stupid stuff like breaking Little Caesar's pizzas in the back of a caravan. Man, we didn't know, right? Like, if we knew then what we knew now. And so I do have a question for you, and this may be difficult. I don't know. What would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger self? I think I would tell my younger self to be more transparent. I think I would tell myself, my younger self, to take some more risks, to not just try and have the sound bites of faith, but to actually find my faith sooner. I feel like I really didn't find that and make it my own until college. Because I wanted to live life and experience things and one foot in the world, one foot in the church, or, you know, in faith, if you will. It never works, you know, lukewarm, you get spit out. So I think I would tell my younger self to commit sooner, and to not, I used to call it, don't play spiritual brinkmanship. In the spiritual realm, we like to get as close to the edge as we can without jumping off. And instead, run the other way, you know, pursue God with all that I am. Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me with all you are, you'll find me. But if I'm, you know, living on the edge, trying to get as close as I can to the world to say, well, I didn't really sin. I'm not doing it with all that I am, you know? So I think those are a couple things I would tell my younger self. I think I would probably, say, love my parents better. You know, some of the cliches, you know, hug those who are close to you more often. Say I'm sorry more. Because you know, I've gotten to the point now where, you know, where I work, I'm the grandpa, you know, I'm in charge, and most of the people who work for me could be my kids. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny trying to, I have people now that are younger than me saying, when I just tell them something, when I just try to teach them about working or what we do, they say, you're so inspiring.
Yeah.
And I never thought of myself as inspiring, but I guess I would have liked to have been inspiring sooner and to find those things that are important now sooner. You know, some of the old cliches, no one ever says, I wish I would have spent less time with my kids, or, right, you know, some of those kind of things that, you know, just that I would, you know, whatever the last season looks like for me, cause I'm on the back nine for sure. To live it to the best that I can, you know, and that people know who I am, what I'm about. So those are some things I would probably tell my younger self.
I agree. I think, for both of us, because your parents were my parents and my parents were your parents, and, you know, Mama C's not here anymore, but, boy, if I had a chance,
For sure.
But I do have a chance with Papa C, and so we have some conversations, and I know he listens, and I know he's going to listen to this one, and I just want him to know, man, it's not just when I text you to say, how do I fix my sink?
Yeah.
It's what he taught me without ever saying a word. And you know, Papa C, he didn't say a lot of words, but, man, he loved my mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if we had a chance to talk to our parents, before or after they're gone, man, you need to say that. And so from two guys now that went from rolling in the Cutlass, listening to the Outfield in 216 to being dads now, right? We both got a little gray in the beards. Sure. You know, if my kids are listening, if yours are listening, just know we're doing our best. We did our best, you know, and I know you love them and I love mine, and, man, we're just doing our best. And that is coming from the people that we grew up under too. And so to mom and dad Lay, man, thank you for pouring into this guy. And loving me, and even when it's an Indians game or a Cavs game or a hoop with no backboard.
you'd mentioned the craziness of the world, and it's just been interesting. And I do hope my kids listen, but as they have gotten older, and just a legacy that's been passed down. You know, my parents married 50 plus years. My wife's parents married 50 plus years. Aunts and uncles married 50 plus years. You know, again, not that divorce is this huge evil and whatever, but it definitely has had an effect on a generation. Mm-hmm. And my kid, maybe two generations. And my kids are slowly reaching that point where, you know, they're pursuing their interests and their romantic interests and thinking about starting life that way. And it's so neat to see them grasping the legacy that they have, and grasping the I don't know, just the level of stability and comfort that came from knowing that their parents, we were not perfect, and again, you know, don't hear me saying that, but that their parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, the people who were influenced, you know, we had a pretty tight-knit, close family. We would celebrate birthdays and things and holidays together. That they, I don't know how to say it, they beat the grind. Because it's a grind. You know, it's hard work. You know, there's a lot of times in relationships where it's fine, you know, in the short term. That would be much easier. But to go through the grind and work it out and come out on the other side, stronger, more knowledgeable, you know, eventually closer together and more intimate, if you will, is just something you can't really put a price on that. And now to see your kids in their own ways, starting to appreciate that, ask questions about that, want to know where they came from. You know, I have one daughter who's totally into the legacy thing online, whatever that is, where you can send your DNA off and, you know, just want to know, where did I come from? What is this cool thing that's my legacy? So that's been really fun as a dad to see, and all the things that I screwed up and did wrong, to that there's a few things that seem, at least at this point, right, because they're still pursuing family, that family was of value. And our kids now come back and we sit around our table and talk, and they say, you know, these were some of our best times growing up, mm-hmm. sitting around the table. We had a family question box.
Love it.
Pull a random question out, and inevitably you'd answer the question, but it led to these lengthy conversations about, you know, how we're going to have clean water for the entire world, or what, you know, whatever the conversation led to. But it was this great stream of conscience that, so, you know, advice for parents out there, talk to your kids.
Yeah.
You know, spend time just talking with them, talk on their level, listen to what they have to say. And we did, again, I'm not saying I did it perfect, but I think those are things that I'm starting to say, that was valuable. That was super valuable time. So anyway, sorry, I digress.
No, I think the key word there was time.
Mm.
It's time. This morning, my college roommate sent me a screenshot of "Hey Ladies" by the Beastie Boys. Cowbell. Ding, 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 ding. But he sent me a screenshot. He was like, yo, so good. And so then I took that and I sent it to my girls, because when Heather, I don't know why she ever left me in charge of the kids to walk to school, but Heather did. And so she left me in charge of my girls. And when I was doing their ponytails before we would go to elementary school, I would rock me some "Hey Ladies" with my girls. Beasties. And we would do the ding, ding, ding. And I sent them a text this morning, because how in the world did I not screw them girls up? We were listening to the "Hey Ladies" by the Beastie Boys. But you know what? And that's what I told them, is they gave me a lot of grace. And so I know you've got kids, and you know, our kids do extend us an amazing amount of grace. And I think it's maybe because God maybe just inserted that into the lab when he made them, to know that, man, we're doing our best. And my best was to play "Hey Ladies" by the Beastie Boys while we got ready, because I was just trying to figure out girls and have fun and smile and laugh. And today we can laugh about it. Right. And, for our kids who may or may not listen or see this, know we did our best, right?
Yeah. At least you had a sister. Like, you know, my house was, you know, fish on the wall, deer head, you know, and so, you know, I'm a dad to two girls, and you know, I'm upstairs and they're downstairs, and like, "Hey dad, can you bring me a pad?" I'm like, "What are you talking?" You know, like it was a whole new world for me. Cause I didn't date that much. I didn't know about that stuff. And so, But God in his grace, when I taught high school back in Ohio, I coached girls softball, girls fast pitch. And man, that prepared me, God in his grace prepared me.
Yeah.
But because there was a lot of softball practices, talking sports a little bit, or softball practice, we sat and talked.
Yeah.
We didn't bat, we didn't field, because coaching girls is a little different than coaching boys. And sometimes when you would coach, I had to follow that up with, "Now I still like you, but I needed to correct what you were doing," because everything was so personal, you know?
Yeah.
So it did. It really taught me about coaching my own girls. And, and sometimes they just needed to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need me to do another set of reps in taking grounders. They just needed me to talk.
Yeah.
So again, God in his grace, you know, helped with that. So, yeah, but we did our best. I think we did our best. I'd like to hope I did my best.
Well, I 100% believe in nobody more than I believe in you as a dad and a husband and a brother, cousin, a son. I'm going to leave you with this, because we could talk all day. I guarantee you we could talk all day. When you left for college, I don't know if you remember this, I made a little plaque. Mm. And, I don't know if you remember this, but, I don't remember how we did it, but there was a plaque And there was a very short quote from a band called DeGarmo and Key. DeGarmo and Key in the 80s. There was a song called Dear Friend. And I want to read those words because I'll say them to you again, man. They still apply today. And that is seasons change, days go by. People come and people go. Though our paths lead us apart, they will meet one day, I know.
Yeah, for sure.
And for I know I owe you so much, my dear friend, for all those treasure times. For you've made me a richer man, having had you in my life. I gave that to you in like 1987, before you left for SNU.
I left for school, yeah.
And here we are in 2024, brother, and those words still apply. Man, I'm a richer man because I've had you in my life. And seasons come and seasons go. It's not like we talk every day and we don't text every day and we don't, you know. But, man, who knew in 87 when I handed you that plaque, what life had ahead of us. But, brother, I'm so thankful that I've had to share the journey with you.
For sure. And back at you. I mean, you know, the journey with my brother was hard. It was hard. Yeah. And I was so appreciative because there wasn't a ton of people that made the trip up from Columbus or from wherever to just spend time with them, but you did. And I was comforted by that because I'm here. You know, I was farther than you, actually, 3.5 hours away. And I went back a lot of weekends and spent a lot of time and took some time off and that kind of thing. But I just want to say thank you for that. I never really had a chance to say that. But there were several people who just stepped in who were brothers in different ways that just spent time in times that were lonely. And, you know, I remember pretty vividly the time where he was pretty sure that this was it. And we were having some of those hard conversations, like, you know, what do you want me to tell your girls? What do you want me to, you know? And, it was just good to know that there were other people like you and, some other Bednazers. Roger Miller came over and spent some time. Jeff Corbini spent some time. And I just really appreciate that, because those bonds of friendship, you know, those times, like you said, back in the day when we were doing crazy stuff, who would know that crazy stuff bonded us in this way, that just, you know, it's comforting. It's comforting to know that we share those bonds. And I really, really do appreciate that. So thank you for that. So
the honor was mine, man. It was awesome to sit with him and spend a day together, have some Subway and watch some softball, girls softball, and just, man, just be in his presence.
Yeah.
I miss him and I can't wait to see him soon.
Yeah, me too. Two other things that he and I talked about, I'll leave you with these, just some thoughts that I jotted down. The goodness of your life will benefit people you never know.
100%.
You know, stuff that you do and stuff that you say through your podcast or other things, just the goodness that comes through truth and words being spoken of encouragement. You just never know. We won't know until the hereafter, you know?
Yeah.
But the other thing he and I talked about that was really kind of cool was to start unknown and finish unforgettable.
Mm.
Start unknown and finish unforgettable. Just you do you, you know, be all God's called you to be. You don't need fame and fortune, but impact the lives of those he divinely intersects you with in such a way that, you know, they don't forget you. And I'll never forget my brother, ever. No. I never will forget my brother and the things that he said for me and did for me and taught me and showed me. Yeah, man, it's good. It's good. God's good. Even when it's hard, he's good. Yeah. Even when I don't understand.
That's right. So. Even if.
Even if.
Even if. Even if. I not only have it tattooed on me, but I lean into it quite often because there's many days where I don't know and I don't understand. But even if, he's still faithful. He's still holy. And one day it'll be for us to understand, but today it's not. It's not for us to understand. And so, but we do have people to share the journey. And man, you have been my cupbearer. I've been your cupbearer. I don't want to say you've been mine. I've been yours, man. I've been your cupbearer and will always be. God stitched us together, old Bedford Naz. I don't even remember what year it was, but man, we went through dating and We went to prom. The greatest prom I have ever been to was with four friends. I mean, yeah. It wasn't a date. It was four friends. So shout out Lori Notarian and Irene. Yeah. We had a great the four of us had the best time ever. Waddell, shout out Waddell, wherever you are.
Love Shaq.
Nobody else understands that, but
nobody
you and I
knows
do.
That.
And so
That's right. I actually wrote that in my notes. The only other thing I have in here that we didn't talk about. Well, two things.
All right, go ahead.
The Michael Jackson coat. You had the Michael Jackson coat. I just remember that. And I put New Edition. Oh. Michael Jackson and New Edition. Those two things, just when I think of Aaron Conrad, I think of those. And and I don't know why this stands out in my brain, but when you lived over by the pool, I just remember Sega Genesis and a ferret. I don't know why. I just remember hanging out when you lived over at that house. You introduced me to a little handheld Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog, and you had a ferret. I thought that was the coolest thing.
I had a ferret named Rebound. His name was Rebound. He was a train wreck. But my favorite part of the Sega Genesis, and I can say this now because Brian finally knows, one of my roommates didn't understand that you could save the game after every hole, whether you made it or not. And so he'd come home from work and I'd be like 30 under par. And he thought I was like the...
How'd you do that?
He thought I was the PGA Tour king. And then one day I was like, Brian, man, you could save it after every hole and then redo it if you need to.
That's great.
PGA Tour, Sega. Dude, yeah, man, we have so many more memories. But all I know is you've been my brother, and I'm so thankful that you took time to come on today. What's the last thing you would tell anyone? If you sit down and I say, Ernie, give me one thing for life. And I said, man, now I'm really putting you on the spot. But what's one thing you would tell somebody, best advice you have for life?
And this is a couple things. Sorry, I know you asked for one.
No, that's fine.
In terms of my career, because I've worked with people, specifically kids, my whole career, I have lived my career from the very first day. There's nothing about a caterpillar that gives you any indication it's going to someday be a butterfly. Mm. Nothing. So in terms of people, everyone has a story. Every caterpillar with their ugliness and their stripes and their, you know, awkwardness or whatever, there's potential in there to someday be a butterfly. And, you know, that's in any relationship. So that's, you know, in work and in kids. And again, it's one that I have in my email. Again, I'm a quote guy, kind of like you. I like pithy sayings. At the end of the game, the king and the pawn go back in the same box. And whether you're a king for a season, or you're a pawn. You know, and I think I've had times of both. There's been times where I've been leading, and there's times where I've been following. You know, and God is faithful.
In both.
And, you know, again, that simple verse, and even if not, he's still good. Yeah. Even if not, he's still good. So those are the things I would leave. That's probably what'll be on my tombstone. And even if not, he's still good. He's still good. So appreciate you, brother.
Brother, it goes back to what I said. You've made me a richer man, having had you in my life. Thank you to Garmo and Key for that line. But I'm a richer man, both in my childhood and even today. Watching how we rolled together then. We went through the awkwardness of teenage years. Mm-hmm. And watching how you've weathered some serious storms, man. You've made me a richer man having had you in my life. And I'm forever appreciative to you, brother. I love you dearly, and I'm very honored to have you on today.
Love you too. Thanks for the opportunity. It's been great to catch up and talk with you in this format.
It's weird, dude. All right. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, can they do that? Is there a place? Can they email?
Absolutely. So my personal email is ierney4115@gmail.com. Work email, you can look me up at New Story Schools. And I'm at the State College location. You can contact me that way. I do advocate for kids and special education. I love that stuff. That's been my whole career. And, but yeah, reach out to me either one of those ways. That'd be great.
What station can we hear Sonia on?
Sonia is on WTLR. And they do have an app in the App Store. That's probably the easiest way for people not local here. Go WTLR.org and you can, or you can download their app from the App Store. She's on Saturdays with Sonia from 12 to 4, music and encouragement. She does a great job. She's living her best life. I'm so proud of her. She's happy as a clam. It's great. It's great to see her in an element. It's great when you see people you love doing what they love.
Right.
And she's fantastic. I mean, again, I'm a little biased, but she's a people person, and she just does a great job out in the community and stuff. So we really love what we're doing. So
I love you, brother. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything in the 80s. Thank you for everything in the 90s. Thank you for everything today. Thanks for just being my bigger brother that I never had. And, you know, I know you said you're a single child now, but you're not. You still got this guy to deal with.
Yeah, that's right. I love you too, brother. Thanks a lot so much.
Have a good weekend. Thanks so much for being on.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.